Welcome to This Week in Video Games, episode 122. My name is Tom Kershaw, and this is a podcast all about the world of video games. Well, this week I've been catching up on some classic Metroid releases, including Metroid Prime and Metroid Fusion, both recently added to Nintendo Switch. But I've also been playing the latest Dead Cells Return to Castlevania DLC, plus I'm going to be looking at why Lightfall's story in Destiny 2 felt very out of place. Well, it is a busy show as always, so let's get to it. Welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you're well and you're having a good week. Yeah, I'm good this week, and I've been on a bit of a Nintendo kick recently, with Nintendo releasing their Game Boy and Game Boy Advance features to Nintendo Switch Online. So today, I'm going to dive deeper into the Game Boy offering and let you know why I think it's one of the best things about Nintendo Switch Online so far. Well, before we get into it today, it'd be great if you could leave a review over there on Apple Podcast. It really helps get the podcast more eyes on it. I do have a link in the podcast description, so if you like the show and you want to leave a review, I would really, really appreciate it. Plus, I'll read out that review on a future episode of the podcast. Well, that is about it for my waffly intro today, so let's get into what I've been playing this week. Well, this week I've been playing Metroid Prime, so this one was remastered by Nintendo and released on the same day as the Nintendo Direct back in February, and I finally got some time with it after a busy few weeks playing through the latest Destiny 2 expansion. I've also been playing through another Metroid game, and this one is one that I missed out first time round, and this is Metroid Fusion. I'm definitely more used to the 2D Metroid games, but it's been really good to play them both so close together. And I'm going to bring you my thoughts on those games later on in the show. Well, Dead Cells Return to Castlevania has also been grabbing my attention. Also, been playing that on Nintendo Switch. I can't think of many better brand crossovers compared to this one. With Castlevania embedded into Dead Cells, it is an absolute match made in heaven. Well, finally, I've been playing a bunch of Destiny 2, as always. I've been through the latest raid from Lightfall called the Root of Nightmares. It's good, but I can see why a lot of hardcore players are criticising the raid for being too easy. Well, that didn't stop me and my team from dying right at the last moments from killing Nezrak, the final boss, during his final stand. And while it was annoying, it probably was one of the funniest raids that I've done. So shout out to everyone in the raid team from the other day. Well, without further delay, let's get into my review of Metroid Prime Remastered. One of the biggest and the best surprises of the recent Nintendo Direct was the shadow drop of Metroid Prime Remastered. Well, there's been rumours for a long time that this one was in development, but it turns out Nintendo went above and beyond with this release. And I've always been a big fan of the 2D Metroid series, and 3D Metroid was new to me. Well, today, I want to bring my review of Metroid Prime Remastered. Well, it's 21 years since the release of Metroid Prime on the GameCube back in 2002. So prior to that release, Metroid had only existed in 2D. It was side-scrolling in that classic Metroidvania style. And Retro Studios successfully reimagined Metroid as a 3D shooter with a healthy dose of puzzling, successfully converting the series from one genre to another, while still maintaining the feel of the classic Metroid titles. Well, looking back on the top games from the GameCube, it's still one of the best games on the platform. Well, Retro Studios have a great reputation in the industry, and while Metroid Prime 4 has been rebooted and development has started again, Metroid Prime Remaster is an example that everyone can point to and say, well, this is how a remaster should be done. Now, whether you've played it before or you're new to Metroid, this one is definitely one to have in your Nintendo Switch collection. Well, first impressions go a really long way, and Metroid Prime Remastered makes a great first impression. So Samus docks onto a space pirate ship. You're immediately struck by the visuals of the game, so many have complained Nintendo Switch can't handle great graphics and performance, but Metroid Prime is one of the best examples of debunking that myth. From top to bottom, Metroid Prime Remastered has been given an upgrade, you know, to the environments, Samus, and all the enemies that you encounter. So if you're coming to this remaster from the original, then you definitely feel right at home, but if you're new to the series, then you'd be forgiven for mistaking this as a 2023 release. Well, the overall package looks really good, but it's all down to the finer details, including the raindrops on Samus's suit, the condensation in the visor, and the metallic nature of Samus's arm cannon. It's not all rosy though, as one of the original developers has complained about the door animations. This may seem like a minor issue, but for the developers who poured themselves into the game, this one stings just a little bit. Well, regarding the gameplay, the immediate impact of this upgrade is the twin stick controls, bringing it in line with modern shooters. So the original Metroid Prime came out before console games had figured out how to control first-person shooters, even though the PC shooters figured this out a long time before. But it did take some time for console developers to come to an agreement on how controlling first-person characters should work in a 3D space. Well, Nintendo have given us the choice between twin-stick controls and classic controls, but to be honest, I don't see any reason to go back to classic controls unless you really, really want that authentic feel. The game also supports motion controls, but unfortunately, they don't really translate as well as they did on the Nintendo Wii. Personally, I would stick to the twin-stick controls, but it's definitely good to have options. Outside of the controls, the exploration and shooting is the main attraction of Metroid Prime. Retro did a really wonderful job with the original, keeping the essence of 2D Metroid titles and translating them to the 3D space. This isn't your straightforward first-person shooter. There's plenty of exploration, puzzles, and environmental narrative. So Samus loses her abilities at the start of the game, much like many other Metroid titles, and you have to progress through the game to regain your abilities, and this allows you to get to new areas of the map. One of the innovations of the original is here and intact, and that is the lock-on aiming ability. So this was very different to other first-person shooters of the day, like Halo Combat Evolved, for example. This allows you to focus on a single enemy, and allows you to sidestep enemies and easily dance around them, similar to gameplay in Ocarina of Time with Link. There's also plenty of parallels to draw between early 3D Zelda games, combat being the prime example. Well, scanning is also a huge feature of Metroid Prime, and it is a polarizing feature to say the least. Now, Samus can scan the environment to pick up valuable information about the environment, and much of the storytelling is done through the scannables. Personally, I really like it. It's unique when looked through the lens of 2002, and also provides Nintendo the ability to tell a richer story without having to pay for expensive voiceover and animation. Now, it's not for everyone, and you can work your way through the whole game without interacting with this feature if it's not your cup of tea. I would recommend it though, because there's some great narrative contained within these scannables. The base game is great and pretty much an essential Nintendo Switch title. Nintendo have added in some valuable extras into the game as well, including concept art from the original game development process. There's also an audio gallery, as well as a 3D model viewer. As you discover more enemies in the game, you can jump back into the 3D model viewer and check them out. The concept art is really rich too, with concept art from the original 2002 GameCube title, as well as the remaster in their own galleries, so Metroid fans have plenty to enjoy, and it is also neatly organised. Overall, Metroid Prime Remaster is an absolute triumph. Now, it was good back in its day, but Nintendo and Retro Studios have managed to make it even better, bringing it up to the standard of 2023 games, while improving on the original in almost every way. This is hopefully good news concerning Metroid Prime 4, with the Retro team getting back into the groove with this remaster, and apparently Nintendo had this title sitting on the shelf since 2021, so Retro may be further along with Metroid Prime 4 than we think, but that is the future, and this is now, and Metroid Prime Remaster is a fantastic game, and definitely one you should be checking out. Well, the game was developed by Retro Studios, it was published by Nintendo, it's available for Nintendo Switch, and it was originally released on the 8th of February, 2023. Well, as I said in the review there, Metroid Prime Remaster is a fantastic version of a remaster, and a really, really good example for everyone. We've had a lot of really good remasters this year with Dead Space. That one came out earlier in the year. We've just had Resident Evil 4. That one has come out as well. So loads of good remakes coming out. But Metroid Prime Remastered, well, I think that is a really, really good example of bringing something back up to modern standards. Well, that is it for my review of Metroid Prime Remastered. Next up, we're going to go back to 2D, and this one is Dead Cells Return to Castlevania. Well, Dead Cells is back with their latest DLC, and it's somewhat of a dream collaboration for fans. This one is Dead Cells Return to Castlevania. If you look at Dead Cells and Castlevania side by side, you're going to most likely see the inspiration that Dead Cells has taken from the world inhabited by Simon Belmont and Dracula. So here we've got new weapons, biomes, enemies, and upgrades in this latest DLC pack. Today, I'm going to check it all out and bring you my thoughts. One good part about this Dead Cells DLC is you can jump right in from the start. Previous DLCs had you running through levels, trying to find the entry point to the DLC, but not this time. Richter Belmont is standing there in the prisoner quarters. All you need to do to jump into the Castlevania DLC is climb these stairs to a new door, which is going to take you to the outskirts of Dracula's castle. The objective then is to breach the castle grounds, burst into the castle itself, and defeat the most famous vampire in the world. We don't have to do it alone though, because we've got Maria Renard and Alucard along for the journey, but Dracula has brought some allies too, including Medusa and also Death himself. This new DLC is only a few hours long, depending on your experience with the franchise. While it is short in terms of time, it's dense with regards to the content, plus you can keep the items that you pick up and take them onto the rest of your run. So we got the classic whip, which is instantly recognisable for any Castlevania fan. Plus we got werewolves and also armour knights. There's nods to various Castlevania games in the series, including weapons like holy water and the throwing axes, as well as new weapons including Medusa's head and Death's scythe. And as well as the new weapons, we got cosmetics that allow us to look like Simon Belmont or Alucard. Well, there's tons of smaller references to Castlevania in here too, woven deep into the fabric of the DLC. Our vendor, the Collector, has been replaced by Shinoa from the Order of Ecclesia, and there's a stylistic design choice inspired by Rondo of Blood, including the title cards for the new areas. You know, the DLC is largely inspired by Symphony of the Night, probably the best Castlevania game, although fans of the series won't be disappointed by the number of references to the other games. Visually, the DLC looks very, very good indeed, with Dead Cells taking on the appearance of Castlevania. Now, it feels distinctly like Dead Cells, but with that Castlevania layer on top. And the visuals do a great job of hitting you with nostalgia, and then the music kicks in with new versions of Vampire Killer or Bloody Tears. And you can also change the music back to the 8-bit versions if you really, really want to dive deep into that nostalgia kick. So while the game looks like Castlevania, it feels just like Dead Cells has always felt. Yep, we've got new weapons with a new coat of paint, but this is still a sharp action platformer with great feeling combat, much like it has always felt. Now, Dead Cells is arguably one of the best indie titles out there, and this collaboration is only going to raise the reputation of this fantastic indie game. My one criticism of the DLC is that it's simply too short. You know, I'd love to see a full game like this, a new Castlevania entry by the developers of Dead Cells, Motion Twin. Return to Castlevania DLC is a nice detour from your main path in Dead Cells, and it gives you a momentary hit of nostalgia, though the weapons, the environment, the items, the enemies, the skins, they all look great, but I just really, really want to spend more time in this world. Overall, I'd recommend Dead Cells Return to Castlevania DLC to fans of both games, both Dead Cells and also Castlevania as well. So it's more Dead Cells, of course, but it's probably the best version of Dead Cells that we've seen, and it's highly likely Castlevania fans played Dead Cells the first time round, given the original franchise inspired Dead Cells in the first place. My only caution would be the price. This is the most expensive Dead Cells DLC, coming in at around £9. Personally, I do think it's good value for money. I don't really mind giving Motion Twin my money for this DLC, because it's been lovingly crafted and it plays great. However, looking at the length of the content versus the price, it is on the edge of being a little bit expensive. And if that's not something that you're concerned with, I would say go ahead and dive right in. Well, that is it for my review of Dead Cells Return to Castlevania. Absolutely fantastic. So Dead Cells has always been a fantastic roguelite, and it has felt like a Metroidvania, but this crossover with Castlevania is really, really good. I hadn't actually played Dead Cells in a little while, and since I have played it, they've had a crossover with loads of indies. So there's a load of collectibles and little items to find. There's a little Hollow Knight crossover. There's a Shovel Knight crossover. So if you haven't played Dead Cells for a while, now is a great time to jump back in. Well, that is it for now for Dead Cells. But next up, let's have a look at the all-platform charts. Okay, at number 10 this week, holding steady at number 10, it's Animal Crossing New Horizons. At number 9, it's Super Mario Odyssey. That one is climbing 4 places from last week's number 13. At number 8, holding steady there, is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And then holding steady at number 7, it is Minecraft. At number 6, down 1 place from last week's number 5, it's God of War Ragnarok. And at number 5, down 1 place from last week's number 4, it is a game that we've already talked about today. This one is Metroid Prime. Then at number 4, it's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That is down 1 place from last week's number 3. At number 3, down 1 place from last week's number 2, is FIFA 23. At number 2 is Hogwarts Legacy. That one is down from last week's number 1. And then finally, new in at number 1 is WWE 2K23. So congrats to the team at Take-Two for that number 1 slot for WWE. Well, that is it for the all-platform charts, but next up we're going to go back to Metroid. This is one that I missed. This one is a 2D Metroid compared to the last one, which was a 3D Metroid Prime Remaster. This one is Metroid Fusion. Well, Metroid Fusion has arrived on Nintendo Switch Online as one of the most anticipated titles of the Game Boy Advance games on the service. Originally released back in 2002, this is the predecessor to Metroid Dread, also made by the same team. You know, it's a really underrated Game Boy Advance title, and Metroid fans who miss this game should be rushing to Nintendo Switch Online right away. Well, you play as Samus Aran, the deadly bounty hunter responsible for fighting off hordes of space pirates and destroying their weapons of mass destruction, the Metroids. So Samus heads to the Metroid home planet of SR388, with some scientists with the intention of investigating the planet. But as soon as they land, they're attacked by the X-Parasite, a newly discovered dangerous enemy, and Samus falls unconscious while flying a spacecraft, falling out of the sky and crashing onto the surface of the planet. Luckily, she's unharmed, although she is overrun by X-Parasites. Her power suit is removed and she's injected with cells from the last Metroid, saving her from certain death, but ultimately transforming her into something new. Samus has little time to recover after the procedure, and a huge explosion rocks the lab, where they're all staying, and it's down to Samus to investigate the new mystery of that space station. Well, there's plenty of callbacks in Metroid Fusion to Super Metroid, and we've got one of them here where Samus wonders where the material for the Metroid vaccine came from, deducing it could only come from the baby Metroid featured in Super Metroid. Well, she learns that Metroids were bred for the purpose of destroying the X-Parasite, and therefore she's now able to withstand the attacks of this new virus. The throwbacks and connections to previous games are definitely appreciated. As well as the original Super Metroid, there's also callbacks to Metroid 2 Return of Samus, with the events in the game leading to a story in Metroid Fusion. And good news, Metroid 2 is also available on Nintendo Switch Online, as well as the original Metroid Super Metroid, and also Metroid Prime as well. In terms of the gameplay, it is a really great feeling game. Samus feels really quick. She's got all her signature attacks you'd expect, like ball rolling, spinning and loads of jumps. You know, quality of life improvements like grabbing ledges and climbing have been added to make Samus feel a little bit more flexible and responsive compared to her environment. As always, at the start of the game, Samus has been stripped of her powers, has to regain them throughout the game. Well, Metroid Fusion is a little smaller and more linear than other Metroid games in the series. This was largely rectified in Metroid Dread, which released recently on Nintendo Switch. And you can see here the developers probably wanted to go down that Dread route. You know, they have come out and said that Dread is the game they wanted to make back then, but the tech wasn't in line with their design ideas. Metroid Fusion is more constrained. You know, given it was originally a Game Boy Advance title, they didn't really have much to work with. Progression is more linear. Samus speaks to a ship she calls Adam, who helps out with restoring her suit capabilities. But Fusion has a story to tell, and throughout that story it leads you on a very single-minded path throughout the game. So what that means is there's less deviating from the main path, and more focus on story beats and upgrades to progress. Well, it can be a little bit frustrating going from Super Metroid to Metroid Fusion. In the former, you're pretty much free to explore your path. In Fusion, you're restricted by locked doors that prevent you from deviating from your main objective. Fusion is much shorter, and perhaps the player at the time played in shorter bursts, given the game released on a handheld device. So Fusion is designed with the medium in mind. But it is notable when the game comes to a platform where you can sit back on your couch and play. It's a small frustration in the grand scheme of things, though, as the story is really, really compelling and well told. So the environment is dangerous, and there's a unique feeling to the game, given Samus has a different suit in this one. So the environment is really, really dark, and it gives you that classic alien-like tension. There's also lots of different enemies to fight, varied enemy designs, and attacks to keep you and Samus on your toes. Ex-parasites are the star of the show. There are plenty of varieties. They're small, they're quick, and also some big ones too. Well, the main attraction for me in Metroid Fusion is the SAX, and that is a copy of Samus Aran. Now, given her power suit was infected at the start of the game, this clone hunts Samus throughout Fusion, plus has her full array of abilities, and Metroid Dread would return to this concept of being hunted in the future. But this is where that concept originated, and it's gripping, it's tense, and really, really exciting whenever the SAX is on screen. Well, Metroid Fusion was originally a Game Boy Advance game, therefore it is full of beautiful pixel artwork and full of colour, showing off the full colour palette the Game Boy Advance had to offer. It's an improvement from the dark, atmospheric tones of Super Metroid, once again designed for a specific platform in mind. The colour palette sets it apart from other sci-fi tales, all set against a backdrop of darkness. Now, overall, Metroid Fusion is a very good version of Metroid, and arguably one of the most anticipated titles to release on Nintendo Switch Online for a while. Now, it's not very long, coming in at around 6 to 8 hours for a normal playthrough, and it is a very good addition to the online service. So talking about Nintendo Switch Online, we've now got Metroid, Super Metroid, Metroid 2, Metroid Fusion Prime, and also Metroid Dread, all on Nintendo Switch. So I was late to the Metroid series, but if you haven't played much of these great games, I would definitely recommend jumping in, and Fusion is not a bad place to start. Well, that is it for my review of Metroid Fusion. Definitely one to jump in there on Nintendo Switch Online. Also, it is worth noting that the Game Boy Advance games are included in that more expensive tier for Nintendo Switch Online, but with Metroid Fusion, this is a really, really fantastic game. And as I mentioned before, I did miss out on it the first time around, so it is really, really good to go to it fresh. Well, talking about the Game Boy games on Nintendo Switch Online, that is what I want to dive into next. We recently had a Nintendo Direct back in February, where we had the big surprise announcement that Game Boy games and Game Boy Advance games were coming to Nintendo Switch, and they were coming on the very, very same day. So next up, let's have a look at Game Boy games on Nintendo Switch Online. The Nintendo Switch Online offer just got a whole lot better with the addition of Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, bringing an initial offer to Nintendo Switch Online, which will be added to over time. You know, many people have made fun of Nintendo's online offering over the years, but with the addition of Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, this now becomes one of the best retro offerings we have on any system. Well, the Nintendo Direct back in February 2023 was a banger for many reasons, and very much near the top of that was the news that the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games will arrive on Nintendo Switch. Not only were they coming, they would be dropped onto Nintendo Switch Online service that very same day. And while Game Boy games are available in their regular tier, Game Boy Advance games have been made available for the more expensive Expansion Pass tier. And while the offer for each platform is relatively small, Nintendo has promised some classics will arrive on the service soon, including Golden Sun, and also the Pokemon trading card game. So there are some interesting challenges with bringing Game Boy Advance games to Nintendo Switch Online. So back when they're on the original console, the screen wasn't very bright. Therefore, games compensated with more colourful graphics. And Metroid Fusion is a great example of that. So these days, we've got much better screens, including OLED. So we don't really have the problems of the Game Boy Advance era. But that means Game Boy Advance games now can look really, really bright and colourful, Therefore, Nintendo has done some work to adjust the colours for modern screens. Well, Nintendo has also added some features for fans of the original Game Boy. There's a screen adjust mode where you can see what the titles would look like on the original green Game Boy. There's the Game Boy Pocket mode, plus the light colours of the Game Boy Color. There's also a classic feel mode which overlays a pixel grid, and classic feel mode also adjusts the frame rate to 59.7 frames per second, just under the ideal 60 that we're used to today. Well, the original Game Boy ran at 59.7 frames, and when things are sped up this can break some animations, so Nintendo have adjusted to run at the original rate. Now, you can definitely see this in some games where the sprites flicker. You can try turning on that classic mode and it will likely fix it. Well, Nintendo definitely appears to have put a lot more care and time into the Game Boy features for Nintendo Switch Online. So now we've got NES, SNES, N64, with the latter launching in an absolutely terrible state, making some of the best games of all time like Super Mario 64 and Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time a real slog to play and also get through. So, you know, these old games should be a joy. But with the way N64 games to Nintendo Switch Online, it wasn't very good at all. Now, with the Game Boy ports, you can see Nintendo's care and attention. And for me, the library of games is my biggest point of feedback so far. It's just not very big. However, Nintendo are holding back with some key games to provide to the audience over time. Well, talking about games, let's have a look at the games available so far. So first of all, the Game Boy games that are available. We've got Tetris, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening DX, Gargoyle's Quest, Game & Watch Gallery 3, Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, we've got Metroid 2, Return of Samus, Wario Land 3, Kirby's Dream Land, Kirby's Dream Land 2, and also a new one just added recently, Burger Time Deluxe. Also, here's the upcoming Game Boy game. So we've got Kirby's Tilt and Tumble, the Pokemon Trading Card Game, and then The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages and The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons. Next up, let's have a look at the Game Boy Advance games on the system. So Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Bros. 3, WarioWare Inc. Minigame Mania, WarioWare Inc. Minigame Mania, and that is Kuru 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 Kurin. Then we got Mario Kart Super Circuit, we got Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, The Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap, and also Metroid Fusion. And then with the upcoming Game Boy Advance games, we've got Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, Golden Sun, Fire Emblem, and then finally F-Zero Maximum Velocity. Well, that is a pretty good lineup to start with for the Game Boy offer on Nintendo Switch. So there's a couple of games that I'm particularly interested in. So The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening DX, that is one of them. So I've been playing through Zelda games starting from the original and going through them one by one since the start of 2022. I'd like to get through as many as possible before Tears of the Kingdom comes out in May. Well, the addition of the Oracle of Ages and the Oracle of Seasons is fantastic, given I haven't played through these titles before. And Link's Awakening did have the 2019 remake on Nintendo Switch, but I'm really looking forward to get back into that original Game Boy title. Kirby's Dream Land is another classic Game Boy title and one of the very few cartridges that I still own today. So I've got an original Game Boy somewhere with the original Kirby's Dream Land still in that cartridge slot. And it has been a good few years since I played that game on the original Game Boy, but always stands out to me as one of the best original Game Boy games. Plus, also, we've got Kirby's Dream Land 2 as well. Other notable entries include Tetris, the original classic that took the world by storm, Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, that's another great game, plus we've got the original Metroid 2, Return of Samus. We've now got a huge back catalogue of Zelda, Metroid, Kirby, and Mario games all available on Nintendo Switch. In terms of the Game Boy Advance games, The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap is another one I'd really like to get to. So I played most of the home console Zeldas, but not the handheld Zeldas. So Minish Cap, Phantom Hourglass, they are gaps in my Zelda knowledge. Now we've got Minish Cap on the Game Boy Advance via Nintendo Switch Online. That is going to change. Metroid Fusion is another one that I'm very excited about. And I've already spoken about this on the episode. And Golden Sun is another one. Heard plenty of good things about that one. Plus also Fire Emblem as well. Well, that is it for my thoughts on the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance offering on Nintendo Switch Online. Let me know You can contact me on Twitter at TWIVGpodcast. You can hit me up down in the comments on this video, or you can email me at podcast@thisweekinvideogames.com. We'd really, really love to hear what you think about the Game Boy offering on Nintendo Switch Online. Well, that is it for my thoughts for the moment for Nintendo Switch Online and the Game Boy games. But next up, I want to rewind a little bit and go back to Destiny 2. So Lightfall came out recently and the story went down really, really badly with all the fans. So I want to take a look back at what Bungie said a couple of years ago, and also what Bungie produced in Lightfall, and we're going to have a look at together here. You know, did Bungie change their plans for Lightfall, and what does that mean for the final shape? Well, Bungie's latest expansion, Lightfall, felt like a step back in regards to the storytelling that we've been used to in the last few years. You know, Witch Queen's story was fantastic, plus Season of the Seraph followed that with another hard-hitting story. Yeah, Lightfall just feels out of place for a few reasons, and today I want to look at why that is, how Bungie changed their original plans, and why we should be getting the original Lightfall story in the upcoming expansion, The Final Shape. Well, Lightfall's campaign did not go down very well with a large majority of the Destiny 2 audience. Well, IGN gave their review in progress a 5, and then after the raid came out, they upgraded that slide to a 6 out of 10. Destiny 2 Lightfall currently sits at mostly negative as a rating on Steam, and that is a shame because once you get through the campaign, the game opens up and it does get much better, but for many new and lapsed players, they probably won't get to that stage where the game gets good, because many have been turned off by the lackluster story. Well, Lightfall's story, to be honest, is a bit of a mess. We start off with a great cutscene with the Witness showing up on our solar system and the Traveler has left Earth's atmosphere to meet the Darkness Fleet in space. For the first time, we see the Traveler fight back by blasting a beam of energy into the Witness's pyramid ship. Well, unfortunately, then the Traveler is surrounded and trapped, and then the whole campaign of Lightfall happens. We head off to Neomuna, find Strand, and the whole campaign feels like a Strand quest, rather than helping out the Vanguard, who are sat there watching the Witness and the Darkness Fleet having a showdown with the Traveler. Yeah, we've killed gods in this game, and rather than defend Earth against the Witness, we're on Neptune. You know, Lightfall's campaign doesn't feel like it relates to the cutscene at the start or the end. In fact, the cutscene looks like it's been split in two, and the Lightfall story is just simply dropped in the middle. Well, back in 2020, at the reveal for Beyond Light, Bungie announced 3 expansions: Beyond Light, The Witch Queen, and Lightfall. Beyond Light, released in the latter part of 2020, was delayed by a few months, but no big deal, because COVID was happening, and that likely had a massive impact on everyone in the studio, as they had to get used to working from home. Well, in 2021, Bungie announced they'd be delaying The Witch Queen by about 3 months to February 2022, but they also announced they'd be adding another expansion to finish off the Light vs. Darkness saga, and this would be The Final Shape. So at the time, we thought that The Final Shape would be the additional expansion, but it appears as if Lightfall is that additional expansion rather than The Final Shape. So given the narrative of the Lightfall that we got, it appears as if Bungie has pushed the original Lightfall story into The Final Shape, and Lightfall is a filler for us to get to that final part of the story. You know, Lightfall was originally presented to us as a dark expansion. Our light would literally fall. You know, the original design for Lightfall was much darker, and I believe this was intended to be the final part of the story. The Lightfall that we got was the polar opposite of the original design. It was repositioned as a neon action movie, bright and colourful in stark contrast to the dark original, and that was seemingly a placeholder design. This is why Lightfall feels out of place. The story was changed, created as filler and rushed. You know, the Cloud Strider story didn't have much room to breathe. The Witness and the Traveler cutscene was simply split in half. Even Kallus, he was coming back and not really putting up much of a fight as the final campaign boss. And the whole story of getting Strand on Neomuna, it doesn't really make sense in the context of getting our other Darkness subclass. So Strand is arguably the main attraction of Lightfall, and this is a new Darkness subclass. It gives us the grapple mechanic and we're weaving the threads of matter in our hands. So while this was delivered in Lightfall, it would have made much more sense to have had this as part of the Witch Queen expansion. Thematically, it works much better as part of the Witch Queen, given there were darkness relics on Savathun's throne world. You know, the green of Strand works much better on the backdrop of Savathun's throne world, and you can see the iconography from the Strand subclass literally on the Witch Queen armor. So in Lightfall, we just find Strand on Neptune, but this is not consistent with us being given a darkness subclass by the powers of the relic in Beyond Light, and that was when we got Stasis. So we're given Stasis by a darkness relic on Europa, and yet we simply find Strand on Neptune. It just doesn't make sense. I would imagine the original plans for Strand were it to be in the Witch Queen expansion, and it probably had much more of a poison focus, especially given we had Osteostriga in that expansion, and that was the pre-order exotic SMG. In the Witch Queen, we also had a relic granting us power, but in the end, this was Deep Sight abilities. Essentially, that was just to help us navigate Savathun's throne world, plus interact with the weapon crafting system via the Enclave. So, what happened? Well, it's highly likely that COVID hit the studio hard in 2020, and Bungie just had to push out all their plans. They released Beyond Light and then changed their plans with the Witch Queen with that big delay, and then also changed plans with Lightfall and the Final Shape. So it looks like they bumped the original Lightfall story into the Final Shape, created a new story for Lightfall, and then moved Strand into Lightfall and focused the Witch Queen expansion on redesigning Arc, Solar, and Void 3.0 subclasses. Well, the question I want to pose to you is, where does this leave us with the Final Shape? Before I do this, I want to say that I know there's a whole bunch of leaks out there, and personally, I don't go into leaks. I certainly don't broadcast them on the channel or the podcast, so I prefer to experience the story in the game, even if it's not quite what I was expecting. So regarding the Final Shape, I would imagine we're going to have our Avengers Endgame moment, where we and all the races team up against the Witness in a final showdown before we head off out of our solar system to kick off the next saga in Destiny. So in terms of that Avengers Endgame moment, we've got Mithrax of the Elixni, Keitel from the Cabal, Queen Marasov of the Awoken, Crow, Osiris, Ikora, Saint 14, just to name a few. I also think it's highly likely that Savathun's going to come back, given she was bestowed the light by the Traveler and her remains are within the tower somewhere, with Eris doing an autopsy on her body. I would imagine that Savathun's going to make a return to face off against her sister, Zivu Arath, and also supported by the Witness. Zivu feels like the last great enemy that we haven't seen yet, and throughout the year of Lightfall content, I imagine we're going to be building up to that moment. You know, landing the Final Shape feels like it's going to be a tricky one for Bungie for a couple of reasons. First is the final chapter in the Light vs. Darkness saga, which is the culmination of a 10-year story. And ending these types of stories rarely go well. Just look at TV shows like Lost and Game of Thrones. As well as the ending of the Light vs. Darkness saga, we got to kick off a new saga, which would likely see us venture out of our solar system and go on to new adventures. Normally with an expansion, we have a big campaign, which then leads into seasonal stories that part continue the story from the expansion while also setting up the next one. In the Final Shape, it is likely we're going to face off against the Witness and Zivu Arath, and at some point go through the portal cut into the Traveler. But whether this is going to be the location of the raid or a gateway to a whole new system, well, we are just going to have to wait and see. Well, that is it for now for this look at did Bungie change their plans with Witch Queen, Lightfall, and the Final Shape. Well, that is it for now for Destiny 2 and Lightfall, but next up, let's have a look at the games coming out in the next few weeks. Okay, first of all, on the 28th, we've got quite a few games here. So Colossal Cave, Xbox Series S and X and Xbox One. We've got Crime Boss, Roque City, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and also PC. Then we've got MLB The Show 23, that's PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Switch and Xbox One. We've got Sifu, that's coming to Xbox Series S and X, also Xbox One. We've got Terra Nil, that is PC, iOS and Android. And then we've got The Last of Us Part 1, that is coming out on PC. On the 30th of March, we've got Dredge, that's PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. We got The Last Worker, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, PlayStation VR 2, Switch and PC. On the 31st of March, we got Citizen Sleeper, that's coming to PS5 and PS4. Also on the 31st, we've got Cosmonius High. And now we're going to move into April. So on the 4th of April, we've got Creed Rise to Glory Championship Edition. That is PlayStation VR 2. We've got Grim Grimoire Once More, PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 and Switch. Also on the 4th, we've got Hogwarts Legacy. That is coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We've got Meet Your Maker, PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Xbox One and PC. We've got Road 96 Mile Zero, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. We've got Batora Lost Heaven. That is coming to Switch on April the 6th. Also on the 6th, Curse of the Sea Rats. That's PS5, Xbox Series S and X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. We've got Everspace 2. That's coming to PC also on the 6th. We've got Paparazzi coming to Nintendo Switch. Finally, on April the 7th, we've got EA Sports PGA Tour. And that is PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and also the PC as well. Well, that is going to be about it for this week's episode. And if you want to get involved in the show, get in contact through Patreon at patreon.com/thisweekinvideogames. Or you can contact me on Twitter at @TWIVGPodcast or podcast@thisweekinvideogames.com. Send in any questions or your comments or your stories about anything that you've heard today. Let me know if you played Metroid Prime or Metroid Fusion or Dead Cells Return to Castlevania. And let me know as well what you think about the Game Boy offering on Nintendo Switch Online. And also, if you're into Destiny 2, I would love to hear your thoughts on Destiny 2. It's been a really, really busy few weeks of lightful content. But yeah, we'd really, really love to get your feedback on Destiny 2 and what you think of it and its current state of play. Well, thank you so much for watching or for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast or found it useful, liking and sharing it would really help me out. Otherwise, you could check out the other podcasts in the feed. Well, thanks again, and I'll see you soon.